John 11, very familiar story, very familiar passage of Scripture. How about that Seamus, y'all? We had all kinds of new people on this front line. We had Nevaeh over here. We had G on it. I can't even call her little G anymore because she's like getting close to 6 foot. Gonna pass dad up if she ain't careful. All kinds of new kids. I just can't get over it, guys. I'm proud of these kids. I really am. Brother Jordan, Sister Jessica, Sister Jolanta, keep on stretching them. Stretch them. Stretch them real hard and make them do something they haven't done for Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this, when you start like stepping out, you'll start doing stuff you never thought you'd ever do. I promise you, when he got up that morning, he did not think, hey, I'm going to walk on water today. Probably was not in his mind. But when he bid him to come, I understand how the story goes. He probably didn't plan on sinking after he stepped out there either. But the fact of the matter is, there's only two that have ever walked on water. And it's because he did something he had never done before. So when God begins to speak to you to tell you to do something that you've never done before, be okay with it and do it. I'm about to preach right now, and this is not even where I'm going. Amen? So I encourage you, get involved. Do what God wants you to do and not what you want to do. Amen? Amen, amen. Commercial break, join First Steps. Praise God. John 11, and I'll hurry up and start reading so we can get this moving on. John 11, verse 43, and it says, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound. Somebody say bound. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, this is my favorite part of this whole scripture right here. Truly it is. I've preached about this particular statement right here for years and many times, especially to young people back in the day. This is what he says. Jesus saith unto them, whoever them was, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. They believed on him. When they seen all this stuff, they believed on him. Praise God. I had no intention for it to go along with this last song, but it did. And I told Sister Alicia, look at my title, because this is what my title is. I want to preach for the next couple of minutes. Few minutes, a little while, beyond the grave clothes. Beyond the grave clothes. Beyond the grave clothes. If you would, put your Bibles down. I want you to close your eyes all across the building. And I want us to ask God to touch us with his word today. Let his word speak to us and minister to us. I don't know who you are in this building today, but God wants to speak to you. He wants to change some thought processes right now in this place, in the name of Jesus. He's done a work on me today, and I'm so thankful for it. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for your word. I'm thankful, Lord, for your power. I'm thankful for the demonstration of your spirit. I'm thankful for everything that has happened, Lord, up to this point. And Lord, I'm going to continue to give you honor and praise for what you're going to do beyond, Lord, this time, this moment, right here, right now. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to grip the heart of a man, grip the heart of a woman, Lord, a young person today, in the name of Jesus Christ. Cause them, Lord, to want to do and to be what you desire them to be. Lord, with no reservation, in the name of Jesus Christ, we honor you and we give you praise right now. Can you put your hands together unto Jesus right now? Lift him up. Give him a high praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Beyond the grave clothes, beyond the Band-Aid, if we want to put it in our terminology here today, beyond the Band-Aid, beyond the bandage, beyond the thing that is keeping the bacteria out and fixing that little problem that you may have in your life or on your person. Verse 2 in chapter 11, it says, "It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Listen to this. Yesterday's commitment. Yesterday's commitment brought him to today's crisis. Worship today brings a witness tomorrow. Amen. Yesterday's commitment brought him to this particular crisis that we read about today. And I want you to know, worship today brings a witness tomorrow. It will happen. It will take place. There are two kinds of ointment that we read about in the scripture. They're defined in scripture. One is a simple, common olive oil. Use olive oil to cook with. Anybody use olive oil to cook with? I used it this week, amen, or last week rather. But there was an uncommon, extremely rare, and expensive myrrh or balsam ointment. Costly. It was a very expensive ointment, and it was very costly to obtain and possess. This ointment was included in the treasury of the king. Heard about that not too long ago. It was included in the treasury of the king. Jesus makes a distinction and declares what Mary has done is beyond the common oil. It's beyond the normal thing. It's beyond what everybody else has done. It's beyond that. She invested, the Bible talks to us about, and we can read about it and study even in depth, that it was worth a year's wages, the ointment that she brought. There's no doubt, or no wonder rather, why these disciples, these chosen ones, they were complaining. They were a little bit upset. They were overwhelmed with, what in the world is she doing? This is a waste. No doubt that they had their words and the things that they wanted to say, yet these individuals, they failed to realize what preceded the darkness. What preceded the darkness determines the deliverance. This is a precious, man, I can't believe you would do something like this. But what precedes, praise God, some of you got that, some of you didn't, but what precedes that darkness, oh man, it determines the deliverance. What you decide to do will determine the deliverance. How you perceive him. If he's just a good old shepherd's boy, if he's good a carpenter's boy, if that's all he is to you, then you're not going to receive very much. But if he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's deliverance in your future. There's hope in your future. There's peace in your future today. Though it was a waste to some, if realized, what precedes the darkness determines the deliverance. There will be a return, no doubt. There will be a return on your investment. And it comes, so well put, it comes with what the bank calls compound interest. Whatever you decide to invest, whatever you decide to do, it comes back with compound interest. Amen. 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 I'm not just going to sacrifice a little, but I'm going to sacrifice all. I'm going to pour out all. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter if this person thinks it's waste, or that person thinks you're crazy for worshiping like that, or this individual says, why do you even go to that church? If you have decided, as for me and my house, I'm going to give him worship, I'm going to shout, I'm going to dance, I'm going to run, I'm going to pray 24 hours without ceasing, I'm going to do this because this is what I need to sacrifice and I need to give to Jesus, I'm here to declare to you today, you'll get a return that has compound in. It tells us, the Bible says, the town of Mary and Martha. Go with me, if you will, and look at it for yourself. It says it right there in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. That is where the return came back to. When you decide to sacrifice, when you, oh, praise God. Some of you right now, you need to hear what I'm telling you. When you decide today that I am going to sacrifice in prayer, I'm going to sacrifice in praise. I'm going to sacrifice in fasting. I'm going to give this of my time, give this of whatever it takes because, why? Man, I need a return from God. I need God to do something. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to sacrifice. And when you sacrifice, in this particular case, it was Mary and Martha and their brother that was sick that got the return. I'm starting to register a little bit now, huh? Well, I've done it 1,000 times, Pastor Darren. Do it, you heard me say this many times, do it 1,000 times more. You're not sacrificing for me. You're not sacrificing for church. You're not sacrificing for your friends, but you're sacrificing unto the Lord. And when you do that, you're not going to be found wanting, but compound interest is going to come. Oh, I'm about to preach today. Praise God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. Listen to it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man, what? Soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary. I know you've done it 1,000 times. Do it 1,000 times more. I know you've been praying for that husband over and over and over. I know you've been praying for that kid, that man, that young man, that young lady over and over again. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What are you going to reap? You're going to reap a blessing that has compound interest. It may be more than just your son. It may be more than just your husband. It may be more than just your daughter. But the catch is, you got to continue on and continue to seek the face of God. Going somewhere, stay with me. God always, I know this firsthand, God always does his best work behind your back. Amen? He does his best work when you ain't got a clue what's going on. When you feel like you're in that whirlwind that we were in last night. Hail literally is beating down on your head and you're wondering, where's God? Amen? That's when he does his best work. When you look in the mirror and you're saying, man, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm living this way and I got this going on and everything's going great, but why is this happening to me? He's at work. We sing about it all the time. Even when you can't see him, he's working. Even when you don't see it happening, he's working. Even when you are at your wit's end and the light is closing in at the end of the tunnel and that was your only hope, he's still working. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. God's touching somebody in this place in the name of Jesus Christ. On Mount Moriah, for example, Abraham was stretched and Isaac was bound, but God was loosed. Genesis, I'll read it with you right now. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. And listen to this, in the stead of his son. Literally. Go back to the scripture. Abraham went, and behold, where was it at? Behind him. Behind him, something was happening. The knife, the boy on the wood, and Sister Alicia behind him. Quite literally behind him, God was working. And he had no idea. Everything was a go.
Stop, Abraham. Hey, Abraham. Abraham. Don't put a hand on him. Look behind you.
He was committed. He was committed to the process. He was committed to doing exactly what he had been told he had to do. And all the while that he was committed and obedient to God, God had something working behind him. He didn't even know where. Can you just imagine with me for a moment? My mind does this when I read scripture. They're marching up one side, and on the other side over there, there's a ram just bouncing through to and fro. Man, I gotta get. It's almost my time. I gotta get to where I need to be. The red carpet's about to roll out. I gotta hurry. I don't know why I gotta get to this tree, but I gotta get to this tree because my mind's telling me I gotta get to this tree. And here I am. Oh man, I got my son. I got the wood. I got everything to start the fire. But where's the sacrifice? It's gotta be him. There is nothing else. God's not going to do anything else. So here we go.
Abraham.
And all the while, God's working it out. Some of you need to hear me right now. God is working it out. You don't see him working it out. You don't feel him working it out. But he's right behind you and right in the midst of the turmoil when all the going is getting rough, when you're at your wit's end and I can't go anymore. God's going to show up with a ram in the thicket. Hallelujah. And then he gives you the opportunity. It's the best part of the whole story. The best part of that whole story is not the walk up Moriah. The best part of the whole story is not laying him out and lifting up the knife. And even God say, hold on, ram in the thicket. The best part is this, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That's the best part of the scripture right there. The best part of the scripture is you realizing he's your provider. He'll always be your provider. Let me tell you something. Next time he pulls through at the very last minute, I want you to look at that place and say, he's Jehovah Jireh. He was Jehovah Jireh in this story, and he's going to be Jehovah Jireh at your next doctor's appointment. He's going to be Jehovah Jireh in your next family situation. Praise God. John 11, verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode, man, it don't get much more discouraging than that. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He stayed there. Mary said later, if you would have been here. Martha said, by this time, My old boy stinks. He don't smell good. He got something worse than B.O. Listen to me. I don't mean to be comical, but listen to me. Dead bodies. Dr. Hammond said this. After revolution of hormus, believe I'm saying that right, fluid of the body, such as blood, lymph, or bile, which is completed in 72 hours. Listen to this word. Putrefy and decompose. And the Jews say that by the fourth day after death, the body is so altered that it is beyond recognition. So reading this story, we just, oh, by this time he stinks. And so we're just thinking, oh, he stinks. But it wasn't like nowadays. Okay? And so you got all that stuff inside of you. And so they were not talking out of what they thought. They were talking about what they knew. They knew by this time, that last bowel movement that he was going to have and he didn't get to have, I know everybody got sick just saying I lost everybody. It started to putrefy inside of him. That meal that he ate, amen, all that stuff began to decompose and get real stinky like. And so they weren't joking around. If he'd have been here, it'd have been different. It's pretty nasty, isn't it, Sister Harley? I see your face. I know. I can't imagine. I don't even want to imagine. It's gross. But Martha says, by this time, he stinketh. He had been dead 4 days. And so the study says that they could be unrecognizable. Beyond recognition is where they have decomposed to. But Jesus, he stepped in to the fourth stinky day. He stepped into the beyond recognition day. He stepped into the altered and messed up body. That's what he stepped into. One person cannot be more dead than another. The only difference lie in the degree of decay. Jesus stepped in to their fourth day and resurrected what was rotten and decomposing. The mess. This isn't original by me, but the mess became the miracle. The rotten. I don't even know who preached. I don't know when they preached that, but I remember that title from a long time ago. The mess became the miracle. The messed up situation, the beyond recognition situation. The commentary told me that they were decomposed within 72 hours, putrefied, and decomposition had set in. And so he stepped into a mess and it became a miracle. And that decomposition, there was deliverance that was found there. In the middle of decomposition, deliverance was found. Where are you at today? Is your spirit decomposed? Do you not trust anything about the church, about religion, about anything like that? Let me tell you something. Right now is when Jesus can do his best work in your life. You're about to throw in the towel. You're getting rid of it all. I'm sick and tired of this. There's no, I can't trust him. I can't trust them. I can't trust God. I can't trust anything. Let me tell you something. In the middle of that, God's working healing. God's working restoration. God's working renewal right behind you. In the middle of decomposition, there is deliverance that can be found. You may be seated. His word is prophetic and creative. When he speaks into your life, all other events, emotions, listen to me, the season that you're in right now, the circumstances, relationships, the ups and the downs, the smooth days and those horrible, horrific, stormy days all come under subjection to his word. All. He's into that, guys. Did y'all know that? He's into all. Somebody say all.
All.
Trust in the Lord with
all.
He will take care of all. You've got a situation right now. All. You've got a circumstance right now. All. I got a cardiologist to test this week. Stress test and some other kind of crazy test. All. I'm not preaching something that I ain't believing, I promise you. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that he's got it all in his hand. And I mean that. Whatever the outcome is, I made up my mind a long time ago in the midst of her problem and her situation. He's got it all in the palm of his hand. And that's what you and I need to realize. In the midst of our turmoil, in the midst of the problem, he's got it all working for your good. Do you believe the Bible or don't you? I wish somebody would get it in their spirit. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe it. I ain't gonna make you come up here, but I want you to come right here to me. I'm talking to you. Hold my hand. She looked behind her like, what in the world? I'm gonna tell you something about this lady right here. Obviously, you can see she's got some hurt going on in her body. But ain't never is not good grammar. I understand that. Don't repeat that, boys or girls. I ain't never experienced an attitude like this lady right here. I'm just being honest. It took me a while to get there, but from the moment I've met her and knowing the issues, even when doctors do really dumb things and make radiation go somewhere it shouldn't go in her body, trust in the Lord. I ain't got another option, Pastor. I love him. He does all things well. That's an attitude. It may go great, and I may walk out of this whole situation doing wonderful and great. But if not, he's still working it out for my good. He's still, I'm telling you guys, she'll be honest with me, and she'll say, I'm just tired. But God's still God. You mean the doctors put radiation in the wrong place? And you're not mad and upset and want to kick everything over and say, why in the world this happened to me? She did get mad and upset, but she said, God knows everything. Maybe he had me go over here so I could be a witness here, so I could help somebody here, so I could shine the light of Jesus here. She's looking for God to work something out. How many people do that? Abraham was committed. Not her. She was committed and she was looking around.
Yeah.
What can I do? What can I do to make this your moment, God? Yeah. And that's what she said to me. Maybe God placed me over here where they did the wrong radiation so I could witness to somebody else. That was her words, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, you better and I better get the attitude that God's working it out for us. W. Towser, he said this, very, very profound, that God appears at time's beginning is not difficult for us to comprehend, but that he appears at the beginning and end of time simultaneously is not so easy to grasp. Time is known to us by succession of events. Changes take place, not all at once, but in succession, one after the other. And it is the relation of after to before that gives us an idea of time. God is not compelled so to wait. For him, everything that will happen has already happened. Do you understand that? The mess you're going through right now, the trial that you're going through right now, the I don't know about all this that you're going through right now has already happened to him. He knows the beginning. To the end. And the end all the way back to the beginning. Just like the back of your hand. He knows it that well. So everything that has happened has already happened. So why not? The author and the finisher of our faith. Why don't we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding? Why don't we put it in your hands? Why don't we say, Lord, I don't know what's going on or why it's going on, but I know you do, and I know you know how it ends, and I'm okay with it because you've authored everything. That's hard for you and me to do. It's easy to say, yeah, he's from the very beginning, it's been him. But yesterday hasn't happened yet, so I'm really not sure about that. The Bible says, from the beginning to the end, and he knows it all at the same time. Your yesterday hasn't happened yet, but he knows what happens there. So place it in his hands. Oh, praise God. Romans 14 says this, and calleth things, those things which be not as though they were. I like this version. Speak of future events with as much certainty, listen to this, as though they were already past.
Yes, amen.
Oh my goodness.
Hallelujah.
My children are going to live for God until Jesus comes back. Call things that haven't happened as though they've already taken place. Amen? Declare it in the name of Jesus. This is what it's going to be. And do it with the same certainty as though it's already happened.
Come on, amen.
Somebody needs to hear that in your situation right now. Some of you are broken in spirit. I am going to have peace from this moment forward in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not positive thinking. I'm not doing any of that. Call things that are not as though they were. It's already come to pass that I will have peace that passeth all understanding. I will have joy. Before the altar call happens, I'm going to receive joy. Let it come out of your mouth. I'm going to receive an infilling of his spirit. I'm going to have a renewness of faith in this place today. I'm going to have something precious and powerful happen to me that only comes from above. Call it as though it's already happened. Call it as though it's already come to pass.
Psalms 148. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord, from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Ladies and gentlemen, call it as though it's already come to pass. Declare it as though it's already come to pass. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 27, help me on the screen here.
chapter 27, verses 13 and 14. Brother Trevor, when it comes up, I want you to read it really, really loud. You don't got to have a microphone. 13 and 14. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not what you think it is. I said, it's not what you think it is. Isaiah 46 and verse 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that exalted my counsel from the far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. The church has patience, all dressed up, but there's sores and there's bleeding inside. Ladies and gentlemen, our God can do what he said he can do. The wind may blow. It may be boisterous winds from the north that are destroying and bringing pain. But let me tell you something. There's issues and problems in you. There's issues and problems in me. And I want you to understand right now that Jesus can still do what he said he could do. I know you're in church and you got your suit on and your hands are raised and all things look good. But some of you got some bleeding inside. Some of you got some sores that are driving you crazy, and you need some help. There's a young lady in our church that she has a sore on her body that she can't get healed over and over again. But when you look at her, when you talk to her, there's a big smile on her face. And when you talk to her on the phone, everything's going great. But the fact is, there's a sore there that is hurting. It's bandaged up. It's broken. She's broken inside. Smiles on her face. And no doubt in this room today, there are some people that you still have your grave clothes on. You still have something wrapped around you. You are raised from the grave, but you're tangled up in the bondage of your grave clothes. The winds. Oh man. The winds are blowing around you. You got a smile on your face and you clapped your hands. You maybe even came to the front earlier and you lifted your voices and man, you loved that song, but there's a tender scar somewhere. There's an emotion that has been, you're overwhelmed with a jagged emotion in your spirit and your heart. And you are solid, wrapped in bandages, but you're out of the grave. And you think it's okay. You're out of the grave, but there's still some bitterness that's tucked in your heart and it's bleeding profusely. You serve on a Sunday morning and you serve at different events that we have and you got a smile on your face and you can check off the list. I'm a part of Truth Church, but inside of you, you're profusely bleeding. And what you have done is you have tried your best to wrap it up and make sure that the blood is not seen and nobody knows what's happening in your life. You're raised from the grave, but you're still tangled up in grave clothes. Some of you, listen to me. Some of you've got haunting memories. Close your eyes all across the building for a moment. You have haunting memories of things that have happened to you in your past. You think that you're over them, but you're not over them. And they beat at your mind every single day. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not going to let these haunting memories come. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to raise my hand. But still, you're wrapped up in bleeding from those haunting memories. You were made more than a conqueror, and you were made to overcome. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. You were made more than a conqueror, and you were made to overcome. You are not to be here and put on a show with your hands raised and feel good every now and then, Sister Daphne. No, you're made to overcome the bandages. You're made to overcome the sore that you have hidden. And I still got bitterness and hatred and anger, and I'm so mad, Pastor Darren. There's no way I could get over this. And I'll smile and I'll serve and I'll shake someone's hand and I'll teach somebody a Bible study. I'll even bring somebody into the church and I'll disciple someone and I'll invite over and over and over again. But I still got bandages. Stay with me just for a little bit longer. A symptom announces to the body something is wrong. Lazarus was alive. He was alive. But he had a symptom. He was living behind bandages. He was living behind grave clothes. He literally had just walked out of the grave. But he was bound up in grave clothes still. We cannot have true revival in our lives. We can't have true revival in our church. We can't have true revival in our youth group. We can't have true revival, Sister Amber, in our true kids with mummified children of God. Hear me. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Some of you have bitterness right now, and you've brought it here. You've brought your bitterness right here. You brought it with you. And you carry it with you. You carry it with you every season. You carry it with you every birthday, every anniversary. You carry this bitterness and this hatred and this anger with you. I feel the Holy Ghost right now, whether you think so or not. It's in this place. And you carry it. But you have to realize, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. There's no more grave clothes. There's no more bound up situation. You're to be free. You're made more than a conqueror through Christ. Who what? Strengthens you. He strengthens you. You can't do it by yourself, but he can. You're made strong in your weakness. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. You cannot have true revival with a mummified, bound up child of God. Religion. Hear me. Religion camouflages the source. What do you mean, Pastor Darren? Got my suit on? Got my Bible tucked under my arm? Things are great. I got my Christian religious smile on, Brother Jonathan. I'm doing good. But you're bleeding. You're bleeding inside, and you got bandages wrapped around you. That's not how a child of God is to live. You're supposed to live revived. You're supposed to live in peace. You're supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. How in the world can you tell me that you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory when you're bleeding bitterness and hatred and anger for whatever has happened, whenever it's happened? Praise God. There's a man, pastors in Apopka, Florida, Brother Williams. For years, he had a shoulder that had an open wound on it. He'd go to Because of the Times, and he would preach powerful. I'm talking powerful messages Lord, help me to have one like that someday, but I will never have one like he does. God can do anything, but he's just amazing. God's wordsmith and anointed, etc. Preaches one of the best messages that I've ever heard. The stink doesn't stop him. But for years, I'm not talking about kind of open. I'm talking about wide open with patches on it so it wouldn't come through his shirt. And they had to use some kind of spray. I don't remember, his son-in-law told me what it was, but had to use some kind of spray to make sure that it didn't grow bacteria. But he would preach. And if you go back and look at videos, this hand stays right here the whole time. And he'll reach down, he'll turn the pages with one hand the whole time because he's broken and bleeding. And he's got a messed up open wound. They couldn't get it fixed, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes that's how we come to church in the spirit. We will lift our hands and we'll shout and we'll dance, but we're bleeding and we're broken and we're hurting. I'm here to tell you today that is not the will of God. God wants you to live beyond the grave clothes. Your religion camouflages the source. Doctors will not give painkillers when treating certain injuries because they do not want to camouflage the symptoms that help identify the root problem and the source of the pain. Religion can sometimes be a painkiller. They played the right song. I dance to the right beat. I ran around the church, and I'm not diminishing anything that anybody does. But all the while, that religion, that what you think you're supposed to do or feel, man, if I do this, everything will be okay. You're hiding the cause of the sickness. Everybody came to the altar, and everybody wept a little bit, so I'm going to come and weep a little bit. And you're camouflaging the cause of the sickness. There is a distinct difference between religion and deliverance. I don't want anybody to experience religion here today. I want you to experience deliverance. You came this Sunday morning with an issue and a problem, and I want you to leave free in the name of Jesus. Not because Pastor Darren's preaching, but because that's the God that I serve. And this God that I serve wants you to live beyond the grave clothes. He didn't call you to receive the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name for you to go home still nursing the same wound. He didn't want to do that. That's not what he died for. He died for you to be free and free indeed. Not because religion said so, but because he said so. Do you believe in the God that I'm preaching about? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go wash 7 times and you'll be clean. Go show yourself to the king. And one comes back and he says, oh, hey, because you did so good, you're made whole and fingers grew back. That's what God that you and I serve. Beyond the grave clothes. He's speaking to you today. He's reaching for you today. God is not interested in getting another church, having you get another church fix or another worship fix and feeling numb for a couple hours. And you get back home and you're sitting in your recliner and you listen to your music or you're reading a magazine or you're reading news on your phone. And then the joy that you had for about 3 hours completely vanishes away. No, he wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be set free. He wants you to truly have joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants you to have peace that passes all understanding. He wants, in the middle of your storm right now that you've been nursing, he wants you to say, give it to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Don't just give a portion to me. Give it all to me. Give your bitterness. Give your hatred. Give your mean spirit. Give your hurt and broken body and heart. Give it to Jesus. There is a time and a place for small talk. There's a time and a place for your patty cake, golf clap, Christian stuff. There's a time to chat. There's a time to go through the motions. There's a time to just do church. But Jesus laid aside the small talk. He laid aside the small talk, ladies and gentlemen. What do you mean, Pastor Darren? He said it. I read it and I tried to dramatize it. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And after he said, "Lazarus, come forth," he looked and he said, "Loose him and let him go." Go do that. Loose him and let him go. It was direct command. This is what I need you to go do. Because not only is he out of the grave, he needs to be loosed. He needs this bound up, bandaged, gross, nasty stuff that's on him. I have no doubt that it probably was still nasty. Because God does things real well. And he wants you to know that junk stinks, but what's underneath there don't stink. All the mess that's pouring, that pours all into those bandages, that stuff stinks. But what's underneath there is a miracle. What's underneath there is joy. What's underneath there is life, and life more abundantly. That's what I'm trying to preach to you today. You may not want to go through the bandages. You may not want somebody to come and get them off of you. But it's worth the embarrassment to get to the healing, to get to the help, to get to the hope. Stand to your feet. I'm almost done. No doubt there was dilemma, but it wasn't time to talk about that. It was time to solve the dilemma. Don't chat to me about what's been ruined unless you're going to talk to me about what's been revived. Today, you're in a house, literally in a house, that total revival can happen in your life, in the very sense of the word. You can be revived in the spirit today. You can have joy in the spirit today. You can have peace that passes all understanding today. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost like you had it the very first time today. I don't know how in the world that it happened. I don't know how it all took place. I just know that the stone was rolled away, and I know that here he comes out in his grave clothes, and the next thing I know is Jesus is speaking those words, "Loose him and let him go." So I want to speak to you today. Come out of the grave, but don't stop there. Get beyond the grave clothes. I said, get beyond the grave clothes. And this is how we're going to do it, because this is how the Bible said it was done. Come here, Brother Garcia. I'm going to play two parts here. You're Lazarus. Put your hands beside you and just look out straight to all those people. Close your eyes. This is what Jesus said. Jesus, oh, hey, I got another helper right here. Come here. You're his son. That works out perfect. There's Lazarus, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what Jesus said to do. These people right here are the church. They're the church. And the church can do one or two things. They can do this. They can say, "He stinks. That stuff on him stinks. He's been in a mess." Or Jesus looks at him and says, "Hey, loose him and let him go." Or the church can go over here. Start loosening him and let him go. Start at the top. There you go. There you go. Come on. It's not until the church gets their hands dirty.
It's not until the church decides to bear one of those burdens to so fulfill the law of Christ. Keep on. Keep on, church. Bear his burden. You're going to have to get nasty so he can start walking again. You're going to have to get nasty so he can have full peace and joy again. You see, that's the problem. Jesus comes and says, come out of the grave. And we sit there and look. And he's saying, church, go loose him. Church, go help him. Church, go grab his hand and say, hey, listen, I know you're going through a mess, but me and you together are going to pray this mess out of here. And you're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have everlasting hope. You have a job to do, and I have a job to do. To quote the scripture to Brother Garcia or Brother Lazarus and say, hey, Brother Lazarus, hey, listen, you're loose now. Look at me. Look at me. Yeah, wipe your eyes. Listen. Now you have no, they're back there. See them? See those grave clothes back there? They're behind you. So you get to go beyond that. You can start shouting now. You can start dancing now. You can start running now. You can start living in joy now. You can have peace now. You don't have to live in your dilemma, but you can live in peace. Listen to me. These people, sometimes they stand up here and do nothing because you're content living in your grave clothes. Brother Jonathan isn't up here just to look good. Brother Trevor's not up here just to look good. These ladies aren't up here just to look good. No, they're here to be the church. And that person beside you is here to be the church. And they're here to say, listen, God sent me to tell you I'm to get the grave clothes off of you. And all I'm going to do is pray that all the bandages, all the bleeding, nasty ulcers and bitterness is out of your body, and you can go live in freedom. You can live in hope. You can live beyond the grave clothes today. Come on, I want you to lift your hands all across this building. And I want you to listen to me one more time. It is absolutely ludicrous, ridiculous. If you are a child of God and you are living in bondage, you are living in bondage of fear, you are living in bondage of hatred and anger, you're living in bondage of bitterness, you don't have to do that anymore. You can be set free here today. The stink will go away when you get the grave clothes off of you, when the grave clothes are taken off. But you're going to have a brother and a sister in the Lord to help you today. So I'm opening these altars right now, and Jesus Christ, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And from the balcony of heaven, he is shouting down to your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, and he's saying, loose them and let them go. Lay your hands on them in the name of Jesus. Pray for them in the name of Jesus. I'll do what I did then. I'll do it today. Come on, lift your voice to him all across this building right now. Come on, lift your voice to him all across this building right now. Come on. You got to get out of those grave clothes. You got to throw those grave clothes off.
Dancing out of my grave clothes. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and
you had unforgiveness, ma'am, for way too long.
For the Savior God of
Israel. Ma'am, you need to hear me.
Dancing out of
I'm
my
speaking
grave
to somebody in the Holy Ghost. You've had unforgiveness way too long. You need to come to this altar and live set free in the name of Jesus.
For the Savior God up in victory. I'm dancing out of my grave clothes. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful. For the Savior God up in victory. Dancing out of my grave clothes.
Listen to me. There's some of you that are still in the pew, and if you're fine with it, I can't make you do it, but I'm encouraging you to get out of your pew right now, because you've been living in your grave clothes too long. You don't need to do that anymore. You need to live set free. You need to live whole in the name of Jesus Christ. If there's any imperity, any problem, any issue that is keeping you from worshiping God how you need to worship, living for him how you need to live for him, then get out of your pew. Some of you are okay with holding on to bitterness and anger and hatred. get it out of you right now. And unless those grave clothes are off, you're not going to be able to dance. You're not going to be able to shout. You're not going to be able to have freedom. It's not just good for a month or 10 days or 20 days or a year. It's good until he comes back. He gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Don't live under the facade of grave clothes any longer. Don't live under the facade of religion and servanthood any longer. God wants you to be free today. Ma'am, I've been preaching to you since I started. Would you come to this altar right now and get out of those grave clothes?
Sunset's free, it's free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful for the Savior God.
Praying, you continue to pray, but if every eye would be closed, please, literally, every eye closed if you're able to do so. Every eye closed, if you would, help me out. If you've been hurt, and you're truly, only you can be honest, God knows, I don't know, I may know after this. But if you've been hurt, I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about emotionally. You have been hurt, spiritually even, you've been hurt. And you're not over it yet. You thought you were, but you're really not over it yet. I want you to raise your hand. Be honest. Be honest. Some of you ain't telling the truth right now, and I know you're not. Because I see you week in and week out. I see how you respond or don't respond. And that's only because there's hurt and bitterness inside of you that you haven't allowed those grave clothes to be taken off. See, the reason that I know that those grave clothes still had stink on them, I know they had to have. The reason I know that is because it was important for Jesus to tell them to get it all off. All the spices that were on them, all of that stuff, get them off of him. Because there's no possible way that he is going to be able to walk and to live with death still on him. And so some of you, you've received a touch from God today. Maybe you liked the message, or maybe you didn't like it. Maybe you responded by raising the hand. Again, I'm not interested in religious things happening today. I'm interested in God things happening today. And only God can change your destiny. And you. Only God and you can change your destiny. You see, God's not going to do it. He's not going to change your destiny without you giving him the opportunity to change your destiny. And the only way that that's going to happen is if you get the death that is wrapped around you. The things that were binding up the wound that was on you, the wound of hatred, the wound of bitterness, the wound of unforgiveness. I feel that strong here today. That wound of unforgiveness is for you to get the grave clothes off so you can walk freely and live in freedom. And so those of you that raise your hands one more time, every eye closed, I want you to lift your hands all across this building. I want you to step out of where you're at, and I want you to come toe to this altar right now. And I want you to lift your hands. And I want us to pray. As they just play softly, I want you to pray, God, I need these grave clothes off of me. God, I got to get this bitterness. I got to get it unveiled. It's got to get out of here. I got to be able to walk free in hope and freedom in Jesus' name. I am full of the Holy Ghost. I do have the Holy Ghost. But Lord, I want to live to its full potential. I want to have that peace that passes all understanding. I want joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, I desire, God, to be free indeed, oh Lord. I'm going to dance out of these grave clothes. I'm going to move from this grave situation, oh Lord. I will not have bitterness when I lay my head down tonight. My husband thinks I'm okay. My children think I'm okay. Pastor, he thinks I'm okay, oh Lord. But I'm really not, Jesus. I got to get rid of this. I got to get rid of this unforgiveness. Come on. You put on a good front for everybody around you. You put a good front on for your family. You put a good front on for your coworkers. But deep down inside today, there's unforgiveness. Deep down inside, there's a bleeding unforgiveness. And God has said, come forth, ma'am. Come forth, sir. And what you need right now is somebody to grab your hand and say, allow me to be used by God to loosen the grave clothes. Husband, why don't you get sensitive today? Wife, why don't you get sensitive today and go and be that helpmeet? In the name of Jesus Christ, be that help me right now. Go beyond. Come on, you've allowed religiosity, Lord. You've allowed it to speak to you, ma'am. You've allowed it to speak to you, sir. You've allowed it to dictate who you are. No, you're free. You're a child of God. Come on, somebody cry out in this altar right now. Somebody cry out in this building right now in the name of Jesus. I want to be set free. I want that true freedom that he's talking about. I want that true hope that he's talking about. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Come on. Don't let the bondage. Don't let the bondage that you've been set free from kill you. It will.
I trust in God.
It will. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. It'll cause where there is no infection and healing has come in. It'll cause infection to set in. If you don't get those nasty grave clothes off of you, your children are going to be recipients of it. Come on. Your daughters are going to be recipients of it. Your son is going to be a recipient of it. You better get the grave clothes off.
He will never fail. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the
sir. Step out of your pew.
And he answered.
Come on, sir. You don't got very much time left. You don't got very many years left. Get out of your pew and get forgiveness today. Let that unforgiveness become forgiveness. Come on, ma'am. I'm not just drawing for you. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. To get beyond your grave clothes, you have to trust again. The church will loose you, but you must submit to the process. When you and I were kids, our mama would peel the band-aid off of our sore, the hurt, the pain, and it would hurt because it pulled the hair, and you were scared of the ointment. But that ointment, ladies and gentlemen, brought healing. The fact of the matter is, as your pastor, I may preach things that will hurt. Just like mama brought a band-aid or peeled it off or put ointment on there. It will hurt, but it will start loosing you. It will start giving you peace again. It will bring healing. It will give you destiny. It will give you purpose. Sir, ma'am, when you were in the world, you did not stop going back for another drink. No, you did not stop going back for another relationship. No, that didn't happen. The wounds, they grew deeper and deeper. As children of God, you and I, we may get hurt from time to time. When we come to the house of God, the word, the preached word may hurt. But can I encourage you today, keep coming back, because each time you come back, the wounds heal, the memories fade, the pain subsides, and the stench of your past becomes a fragrance for your future. And so I want to encourage you right now, go before the Lord again. I know you tried. I know you tried it before, and you still got bitterness. You still got hatred. You still got anger. But come back again and let the word help. Let the word bring ointment. Let the word bring peace. And those memories will fade. That sin, the hurt of that sin will subside. Those things that tore you up and broke you, that stench, that grossness, it will become a fragrance for an anointed and a powerful future. I believe that, sir. I believe that, ma'am. You are more than what you are right this moment in the house of God. God has bigger plans. God has bigger dreams and destiny for you. But you need to allow Him one more time to peel off that band-aid, to peel off those grave clothes and bring healing, balm and healing salve into your life. Come on. I sought the Lord. Do it again. I sought the Lord. Do it again, ma'am. I sought the Lord.